And let's turn tonight to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Tonight we'll begin in chapter 2. And Habakkuk, believe it or not, is one of the key scriptures that sparked the Protestant Reformation. In the year 1510, Martin Luther visited Rome so that he could climb the Scala Sancta, or the sacred steps. These 28 sacred steps are supposedly the very steps that led up to the chamber of Pontius Pilate, the steps that Jesus Christ is supposedly ascended right before his crucifixion. And listen to what Luther later wrote about this day when he scaled the steps in 1510. He said, "When I was a monk, I was an earnest monk. I tried as hard as I could to keep the rule. I used to go to confession frequently and perform the assigned penances most carefully, yet my conscience could never find rest. I remember when I went to Rome, I wished to make myself righteous by my works. I climbed up the staircase of Pilate, praying an Our Father on each and every step, for I was convinced that I could deliver my grand step. The words came suddenly to me, 'The just shall live by faith.' I was horror struck. I stood up and began to doubt whether this act could please God." Well, it would almost be 10 more years before Luther would come to faith in Christ, but the spark was lit that day as he was ascending those steps, and the Holy Spirit laid on his heart the very words of Scripture, the words of the prophet Habakkuk, which we will read tonight in Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, 'Write the vision. Make it plain on vision, awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith.'" Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we need your word. We need your truth. We desperately need your wisdom. Pour your truth into our hearts this night, we pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would illuminate these scriptures so that we may understand your truth and be changed. Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, Habakkuk chapter 2, believe it or not, is verse 4, is quoted three times in the New Testament scriptures. So tonight we'll examine Habakkuk chapter 2 and then the three subsequent quotations. And so we begin tonight with Habakkuk 2, "The righteous shall live by his faith." Habakkuk the prophet lived around the year 600 BC in the land of Judah under the rule of King Jehoiakim. The scriptures describe Jehoiakim as a wicked king, a king who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Under King Jehoiakim, Judah broke the covenant of the Lord their God and turned away and worshiped other gods and served them. The Lord God did not listen. Jehoiakim was the 10th king of Judah in a line of constantly wicked kings. King after king was wicked and rebelled from the Lord. For over 300 years at this point, it had been nothing but God was faithful to preserve a remnant of believers like Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a godly man. When you read through this book, you see he was a man who was devoted to prayer. He was a man devoted to waiting on the Lord. He was a man who worshiped the Lord. And the book opens with Habakkuk being burdened for his people. God's people who had consistently rebelled against him and followed after other gods. So turn to chapter 1 and notice how the book of Habakkuk begins. Chapter 1, verse 2. Habakkuk cries out to the Lord. This is his burden. He cries, "Lord, how long? How long shall I cry for help?" That's a loud cry of distress. How long shall I cry for help? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you look idly at wrong? That's his cry before the Lord. Lord, how long will this go on? How long will there be evil and wickedness amongst your people? If some of you feel like this today in our current context, in our culture, some of you may have even prayed this same prayer. How long, O Lord, will I see people rebelling against you? Lord, are you seeing this? Are you looking idly at the wrong going on in your worlds? The book of Habakkuk is really interesting. It's similar to the story of Job, where there's a back and forth between God and his servant. That's what we see in Habakkuk. Habakkuk cries out to the Lord, and then the Lord answers him. There's a series of back and forth. So see what the Lord says to the prophet from this initial first cry. Habakkuk 1, verse 5, the Lord says to Habakkuk, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told." So the Lord says, good news, Habakkuk. I'm doing a work. In fact, I'm doing an astounding work. You can't see it right now, but just be patient. I am doing a work. And then look to verse 6. "For behold," God says, "I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own." Okay, wait a second. God, you said you're doing an astounding work, but you're using the Chaldeans? You're using the Babylonians? You're going to allow this evil, wicked empire to invade our... This would be like God using Hamas or some other terrorist cell group to infiltrate the U.S. and rule over us. So Habakkuk answers back to the Lord. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. He has another complaint. "Lord, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil, God." Habakkuk cries to the Lord for relief. How long, O Lord? And the Lord's answer is, "I'm raising up the Chaldeans as my instrument." Habakkuk doesn't understand. And he questions God again. And do you really blame him? But notice what Habakkuk does in chapter 2, verse 1. This is so instructive for us as Christians. Chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk says, "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint." Habakkuk waits for the Lord. He sits at the watchpost waiting to see what the Lord will do. Habakkuk doesn't understand exactly how the Lord is working, or why the Lord would use this wicked nation. But he says, "I'll wait for you, Lord." He's trusting. He's waiting. Some of you are waiting on the Lord like Habakkuk is here in chapter 2, verse 1. Some of you have been crying out to the Lord, praying. Some of you for many years now. The promise of the Lord to Habakkuk is the same promise to you as he was doing in Habakkuk's days. He's doing a work of salvation. He's doing a work of redemption. He's doing a work in our days that we would not believe even if told. When we can't see it, it does not mean that God isn't working. We sit at the watchposts and we wait patiently for the Lord to fulfill his promises. Now, this is where we come to the text that sparked the Reformation. Chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk is sitting at his watchpost, and the Lord answers Habakkuk's second complaint. Chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith." So as Habakkuk is sitting at his watchpost, and this answer comes from the Lord sets up a contrast for Habakkuk to see. He compares the two groups. He compares the proud and the righteous. So what is God saying here? He's saying, first, the proud, they are puffed up. Actually, this word in verse 4, upright and good. So God is saying this, the soul of the proud man, it is not good. It is not pleasant. His soul is not prospering within him. We could say all is not well under the hood of the proud man. The proud man, appearance of success, but the Lord says all is not well inside. It's a mirage. It's just an appearance. Calvin says this, he who is proud or who thinks himself well fortified shall ever be of an unquiet mind. Where there is elation of mind, there is no tranquility. So what's the Lord's message to Habakkuk? Don't be deceived. The Chaldeans, even those in Judah who are rebelling against God, who claim to be good without God, they are in great turmoil within. Their soul is being tossed up and down by the waves, like the waves of the ocean. Later in chapter 2, God pronounces 5 woes upon these people, these proud, puffed up people. The Lord says, woe to you. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. The cup of the Lord's hand will come upon you. There's a promise of judgment for those who remain proud and puffed up and turned against the Lord. And then look again at verse 4. There's the promise for the proud and the puffed up, but the righteous. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Now this here is a declaration of eternal life. This word, lead it this way, the righteous, the just shall live forever by faith. The Lord is saying eternal life comes by faith. Christian, this is God's answer to Habakkuk. This is God's answer to you. When you are looking around and burdened by the evil of the world, wondering where is God? How long will evil continue? How long, O Lord? Do you hear me? Will you answer me, Lord? God's answer, the righteous live by faith. Live by faith. Salvation comes by faith. The Lord works. Have faith in me, the Lord says. I am making all things new. I am working my sovereign plan. By faith, Habakkuk, you are righteous. By faith, you receive eternal life. So what we have here in this letter of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, who wrote some 600 years before Christ, we have the beautiful, glorious doctrine of justification by faith alone. We are justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Listen to what our catechism says about justification. Question 33. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, where he pardons all our sins and only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Faith alone. The righteous live by faith. Christian, cling to this truth. Cling to this truth. Life forever is God's gift to you. It comes by faith alone in Christ. Well, second, I want us to turn to Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, we see Paul defending the gospel, and he uses Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 as his proof text for defending the gospel. Paul is sharing the good news of salvation, and Habakkuk is his proof text. And so look to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says this, Romans 1, 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The Holy Spirit first used Habakkuk 2 to plant the seed in Martin Luther's heart, the seed of salvation by faith alone. And this seed grew into Martin Luther receiving the Lord by faith many years later. Listen to what Luther said about Romans chapter 1. The righteousness of God is that by which the righteous lives, by the gift of God, namely by faith. Here I felt, as I read, that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through the open gates. Thereupon the whole of Scriptures took on a new meaning to me. It was Paul's quotation of Habakkuk that led Luther to faith. And don't miss the point that Paul is making here as he quotes Habakkuk. Here's the point. Here's the message. Paul's saying there has always been only one way to receive eternal life. Righteousness has always come only by faith. Justification has always been only by faith. In Genesis, we read, Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. It comes through faith. It comes through belief. In 1883, Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on Martin Luther's birthday, November 11th, 1883. Spurgeon chose this passage, Habakkuk 2:4, as his text, and listen to what Spurgeon said. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way of salvation has in all ages been one and the same. No man has ever been saved by his good works. At all times and everywhere, the gospel is and must forever be the same. The gospel of Habakkuk is the gospel of Romans. Justification by faith in Christ. The righteous are saved by faith. Well, third, let's turn to Galatians. Here again in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is defending the gospel. He's arguing against salvation by works and arguing for justification by faith alone. And again, Paul uses Habakkuk 2:4 as his proof text. So Galatians 3, verse 10. Paul says, Galatians 3:10, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written." Last week, my children got their report cards, received their report cards from their first quarter of school, and there's no worries. They all did extremely well. My oldest son had perfect attendance for the first quarter. He didn't miss a single day, but we were tardy one time. We overslept a little bit. It was actually my fault, and so we arrived to school, I think, maybe 4 or 5 minutes late. So on his report card, he had everything perfect except for one single negative mark. Because of that 4 or 5 minute morning where we were tardy, his perfect record is tarnished. His perfect record is no more. Paul is telling us here in Galatians, it's the same with the works of the law. If you break even one single command of God, you are guilty of all. One single sin, one lie, one angry thought, you're guilty of it all. You've probably heard the illustration of dropping one single drop of food coloring into a glass of water. The whole cup is then permanently discolored just because of that one single drop. One single sin places you under God's eternal curse. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. No, not one. So how do we address this problem? Galatians 3:13, what we just read. Christ redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Christ took the curse that you deserve when he hung on the cross. The answer is not perfectly obey the law, because we can't. We've all inherited sin from our father Adam, and we're under the curse of sin. We cannot obey perfectly the law, but Christ obeys it for us. Verse 10 of Galatians 3, if you are relying on your own works of the law, you are under a curse. And then notice what Paul cites in verse 11. No one is justified before God by the law. Habakkuk 2:4, the righteousness. Christ giving you his righteousness, the great exchange, taking your sin upon himself. And Christ giving you his righteousness, it comes how? By faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Paul again points us back to the prophet Habakkuk. Just like in Habakkuk's day, God's answer was live by faith. It's the same today in Paul's time. If you're relying on self, if you are like the proud in Habakkuk's day, if you're puffed up in your own strength, your soul owes to you. It is only by faith in Christ that you will be saved. Well, then fourth, finally, let's turn to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, the author of Hebrews encourages you, Christian, to persevere in the faith. And again, we see Habakkuk 2:4 quoted. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 36. We read, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Okay, notice verse 39, the phrase shrink back. This means to withdraw, to be timid. It means even to conceal your faith. Christian, do you ever conceal your faith? Are you ever timid with your testimony of Christ? Do you ever shrink back spiritually? What's the answer? The author of Hebrews says you need endurance. You need endurance to keep the faith. We need God's strength to persevere. We need God's endurance, holy endurance, to keep from shrinking back and being timid. Habakkuk needed endurance. That was his cry at the beginning. Remember, how long, O Lord? That's someone who needs endurance. How much longer, Lord? I'm struggling. I need your help, Lord. Answer me. Maybe you need this holy endurance tonight. You're at the end of your rope, waiting on the Lord. How long, O Lord? Christian, where does this endurance come from? The author of Hebrews again quotes Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous shall live by faith. By faith we endure. We are not those who shrink back, but those who have faith, those who persevere. How do we do it? By faith. We're justified by faith. We endure to the end. By faith. Well, how do we apply these scriptures tonight? A few applications for us to remember. First, we need the constant reminder, you and I need the constant reminder of justification by faith alone. Sola fide, solus Christus. Faith alone in Christ alone. If we don't have this constant reminder, we can begin to think. We can be tempted to think that we are adding something to our salvation. And then we become like the proud and puffed up in Habakkuk's day, thinking that we are doing something to contribute to Christ's work. We must remind ourselves of the gospel. You must hear the gospel and be receptive to the gospel message over and over again. It is by faith alone in Christ alone that you are saved. Second, do you see the glorious unity of the scriptures tonight? Isn't it amazing how these words of the Apostle Paul and the words of the prophet Habakkuk are so closely connected over a period of 600 years? All one book. It's all connected together. You know, many of the reformers were scripture translators. Did you know this? Scripture translators copying the scriptures into their native languages, Wycliffe, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, and others, so that people could read and study the whole counsel of God for themselves, so that they could see from Genesis to Habakkuk to Romans and Galatians and Hebrews that it is all one story of Christ, one glorious story of redemption by our Savior. We have faith alone in Him. But finally, third application, persevere in faith. We are not those who are ashamed of the gospel. We are not those who shrink back in timidity. By the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you, by faith, Christian, persevere in boldness. Just as Habakkuk waited for the Lord's answer, and he rejoiced in the Lord, by God's strength, Christian, persevere to the end. Now let me close with Habakkuk chapter 3. In Habakkuk chapter 3, at the end of the book, the final chapter is a song of praise. After all that has happened, his cries to the Lord, chapter 3, Habakkuk breaks out in a song of praise because of his salvation in the Lord. So listen to the close of Habakkuk. Chapter 3, fruit beyond the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Let's pray. O Lord God, we thank you for your word, for your truth, your eternal truth that stands forever, Lord. We thank you for salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and is received by faith alone. We praise you for that one-time act, Lord, where you declared us righteous, when you imputed Christ's righteousness to us, when our sins were placed upon Christ and we are forever justified, declared righteous by faith, Lord. We praise you for the work of the Reformation, Lord, that we can today hold the scriptures in our hands, that we can read it and we can study it. Help us, Lord, to treasure your scriptures, to treasure your word. Oh, Lord, bind us together further in unity and prepare us, Lord, as we come to your holy table. We pray this in Christ.